Hashtag you don't have to be Jewish.
Yippee. It's 8:35. I'm Howard Feldman. I'm sorry about that. This was Mukundi's choice. Through and through. Omer Adam Eden Ben Zaken with a Kukuriku. I don't know. I don't know. Some of his songs. Either way, Rabbi Yossi Sherizen, co-founder of Gabriel Network. Good morning. Thanks for joining us. How are you?
Good morning. Doing very well. Thanks for having me on the show.
Right. And what do you think of our choice of music?
Oh, fantastic. What a great way to start the day and get the beat going, right?
With Omer Adam, absolutely. Kukuriku, I think we could have chosen something else. All right, but it doesn't matter. And we're going to be talking, and it is good because we're talking about serious subjects. So maybe it's not a bad thing just to pepper it with a bit of a Habibi somewhere along the line. All right, so tell us about, and it was fascinating because we came across this announcement and we wanted to hear more. And it's all about gunshot detection. Detection using tech to battle mass shootings.
Yeah, so what we found really when we first started Gabriel was mm-hmm. because we had witnessed a number of incidents, starting with a terror attack here in Israel, as well as gun violence in other parts of the world. And we saw that these things just continue happening, right? And unfortunately, we wish we could say this would be the last one, but they continue to happen and happen with greater and greater frequency. Yet we fall into the same trap virtually every time, and the response to these incidents unfortunately often fails, and we saw the opportunity to bring to light technology that would save lives and dramatically change the way incidents like these unfold.
Doesn't that work on the assumption that there is a commonality around mass shootings in different parts of the world? I would have thought not. We have them here, for example, in a rural area, in a tavern in South Africa. I would imagine that differs to a secondary school in the United States, which would differ to a terror attack in Israel. I mean, yes, the weapons are the same, but isn't that it?
Yeah, it's a really good point. And what we found, in fact, part of the challenge in the beginning was when we identified both the need and the opportunity to impact in a positive way was actually too broad. We had to focus in on a specific issue, because what we found was that if something bad happens, right, and unfortunately bad things happen every day, but if you can isolate that bad thing, sort of, and by the way, this is true, we see it in health, we see it in education, we see it in social issues,
right,
and we also see it in violent crime.
Okay.
If something bad happens, you can identify it early, you can isolate it, and then take control of the situation, you can dramatically change the outcome. So now once you take that theory or that approach, and then when we start bringing the technology about early detection, visibility, et cetera, and we found that we could apply it to everything from a gas leak to a natural disaster to a man-made disaster. So you're absolutely right that, you know, there are so many things
variables
that this could be applied to, but we actually found that the commonality between them was shockingly, I was myself very surprised.
So explain what that means.
So what it means is that if you have, heaven forbid, someone comes in with a weapon or some sort of threatening situation, if that situation is allowed to continue and what becomes not only an isolated incident, but what's known as an active or ongoing threat, with every chunk of a few seconds, the damage, the harm, the impact of that incident is exponentially greater. So if we can identify it earlier through technology, we can isolate it, and we can actually provide a remote response as well as on-site response, then you can stop that threat, get people away from trouble, and put an end to it quickly. If that's allowed to fester,
then you
have a much bigger problem.
Are you really predicting the pattern that these incidents you play out? In other words, the commonality around human behavior, weapon usage, crowd behavior, etc. Am I understanding that correctly?
That's exactly right. Okay. So if we take, for example, a situation like you pointed out, it's not only gun crime in America, or it's not only a terror attack in Tel Aviv, but if you have someone who comes in for a robbery, an armed robbery, right? These things are very common, especially, you know, in South Africa.
Right.
Someone, what do they want? They want the goods, right? Or they want
and
they want to get out as quickly as possible. And if you allow that to remain an isolated situation, or if we can even identify the threat before it comes in the front door, then we might even be able to prevent the robbery in the first place. But if that situation goes sideways and now it's turned into a hostage situation, right, in a comet or a manhunt, then a lot more people are suddenly at risk. So that's exactly right. We've identified those patterns, and then we insert the right technology in order to stop the pattern earlier on. And if we don't catch it early enough, then we've also identified those critical junctures where we can step in and actually engage at various points along the, so to speak, life cycle of an incident.
How far back does this go? In other words, are you able to use artificial intelligence, machine learning, or whatever it would be, to highlight people who might be a threat or their change in behavior? Or does this start at the front door of the home, school, street, wherever the incident is taking place?
Yeah, it's a great question. So this is really the evolution of Gabriel. When we first started, it was only once there is actual trouble does the system get deployed.
Okay.
Right? And it was gunshot detection or manual press of a button. And our approach was put help within reach of every hand. You see something suspicious, something bad starts happening. We need to make sure we can, number one, trigger that alert quickly and get moving.
Right.
And get all the multiple flows that have to happen automated, as opposed to them being, functioning in serial form, one after the other. That was the first stage of Gabriel. The next step was already identifying the trouble earlier. So spotting shots, right? And then giving you the 10 seconds of video before the shot went off, so you have that contextual information. And now, and this is our latest announcement, is we're now partnering with a number of AI companies in order to push that threat further out. So weapons detection, anomaly detection. But going to your point, if we know that the vast majority of situations in the workplace, for example, come from what's called insider threats.
Right.
Former employee, whatever, right? So if we know who these suspicious characters are, why are we waiting to address the problem once they're deep inside the building or campus? Let's spot them as they're approaching and meet them at the car park.
How do you adjust for societal behavior? In other words, an example would be that if you have an incident in Israel, I can't remember, but it's really literally a few seconds from when an incident happens to somebody who is an ex-IDF or ex, or is stationed there for whatever reason, who is armed, a civilian that's armed, being able to intervene, versus let's say this happening in New York, where you've got a much lower incidence of armed civilians. That obviously predicates a very, very different type of response in an event like this.
Absolutely. And that's partially why, or perhaps a significant reason why, most of our sales and the focus of commercialization of our product is in the States.
Right.
It's also a cultural difference. In Israel, there is a sense of common duty and an approach that when, there's a stabbing terror attack on a train a number of years
people
ago.
People run towards the event, not away from the event.
Exactly.
Right.
In Hebrew,
right.
We call it l'chdor l'maga, right? We go, we move towards combat and action, whereas being scared and moving away from it and not knowing what to do.
Right.
So we really step in and we focus our energy on where can we stop the panic and the chaos and help those populations. And that's really the primary and initial focus of Gabriel's work today.
So what are the next steps for Gabriel?
So next steps are expanding that detection capabilities and anomalies in order to push the threat further out, as well as expanding our deployment. After seeing what happened in the Texas school shooting, for example, and other sites like that, it doubles our commitment to make this technology ubiquitous, to get it out into the millions of buildings that are vulnerable today in communities, so that if and when that next situation happens, we're there to help, as opposed to sitting on the sidelines saying, if only we had been there.
Absolutely amazing. Unfortunately, that's where we do need to leave it. Rabbi Yoni Sherizen, who is a co-founder of Gabriel Network.